To the scriptures, we read in the New Testament from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and reading at verse 1. We hear the word of God. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded their minds, the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what we see, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen, and thanks be to God for his word. The words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What kind of man was this that he could speak of his troubles as light? Are troubles light in this world? One might say, this apostle must have been very strong, very robust, that he felt his troubles light. Another might say, I have looked after my invalid wife for long years and also an elderly parent, and my troubles have not been light. Or again, another might say, I have stood at the graveside of a loved one who was taken early in life, and my troubles have not been light. What kind of a man could say of the troubles, the trials and afflictions of this life that they are light? Well, Paul certainly had his troubles. Even as we look at this chapter before us, we read in verse 8 there, we are hard pressed, we are perplexed, we are persecuted, we are struck down. And then you think of that catalogue of desperate trials. We read in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, I have worked much harder, says the apostle, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger, thirst, often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And this is the man who describes his troubles as being light. And he knew troubles additional to our own, not simply because he was a Christian believer, but also troubles that were peculiar to his apostleship as one gifted and sent out to the ends of the known world on a way that would ultimately take him to the cruel Emperor Nero and to martyrdom. How could he describe his troubles as light? How can you, how can I, how can we describe our troubles as light? Well, for one thing, our troubles, whatever they may be this day, are light in comparison to the desire of our hearts. The desire of our hearts is to see the elect of God gathered into the kingdom of God, whatever that might involve, that the lost might be found, that the perishing might be saved. If we were to see a little girl playing on a railway line, we would clamber over that fence, even if it had barbed wire. If we were cut, if we hurt our foot on the other side, knowing that an express train is coming at any moment, we would lunge forward and take that little one out of harm's way. The troubles we might endure would be light in comparison to the saving of that one. It may cost us to reach out to those who are strangers to grace. But it'll cost us nothing in comparison to the joy of knowing that one brought into that rock of ages that was cleft for her. But then again, we might say that our troubles are light in comparison to the chief end of man, which is to glorify God. Now, we would always be mindful of what it cost our Lord our salvation, that we might enjoy peace with God. His great condescension, how he left the glory of heaven, his Father's side, the privileges that he enjoyed there, that he might come here into this world, this fallen world, to live and to suffer and to die for us. And when I think that he did that for me, then whatever it may cost me, I will give glory and thanksgiving to his great and almighty name. Oh, what a rescue was here, that he came to save one like myself and like you. Our troubles light in comparison to the chief end that is ours. But then again, our troubles are light compared to those of so many others. There is no doubt that sometimes we suffer for the sake of Christ, but we think of the Apostle Paul himself, as we have heard. The end of his life was martyrdom. And since then, how many have languished in some forgotten cell? Those who have been separated from family, loved ones and friends for the sake of Christ. What are my sufferings compared to theirs? Nothing at all. And then again, our troubles are light compared to the troubles that we would have endured if God had not been merciful to us. We think of the words of the psalmist, "The Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities." Your sin, my sin, will be judged. It draws down the wrath of God. But where will your sin be judged? It can be judged in only one of two places. Either it will be judged on my own head, or upon the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I come to him and I confess my sin and I receive him as my Savior and trust in his finished work on the cross, so my sin is judged there. But if I were to leave this world Christless, then the troubles that I would know beyond could not compare with the light troubles here. To depart into that fathomless pit, it is a fearful thought. Are we not glad, are we not grateful this morning that our sin has been judged and that we shall know no troubles there? We would be like that rich man that we read of in Luke chapter 16, who in vain begged Father Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger into chilled water to cool the tongue. But for those who are safe in Christ this morning, there is no fear of such a trouble. And then again, we can say that our troubles are light compared with the blessings that we already know here. how richly blessed are you, how richly blessed am I in Christ. We have known the blessing of that sweet voice, that still small voice that called us through the ministry of the Word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God that called us to Himself. Once dead in transgressions and sins, like Lazarus in his grave, and the voice sounded into the grave, and Lazarus was quickened and came forth, and we have known the blessing of that voice sounding in our ear that drew us from death to life, from darkness to light. And not only did we experience that quickening in Christ, but we were also justified. That is, we were declared righteous in the sight of God. Now there is a blessing, the blessing of justification. Wherever I have been, the Lord no longer sees those filthy rags in which I was once clothed, but the righteous clothing of Christ. I am accepted in the Beloved, justified. Justified, never sinned. Enabling me to repent and believe. That's conversion. The blessing of conversion. And yes, the blessing of sanctification. And we might think of what sometimes we describe as punctiliar sanctification, a momentary sanctification. That is how in a moment we were separated to Christ, to be His, to live for Him, to serve Him, to witness to Him, to glorify Him. What a blessing that is in comparison to the empty life that perhaps we once lived. That's that momentary punctiliar sanctification, but there's also what we call linear sanctification, which is an ongoing process in which increasingly we are conformed into the likeness of Christ. That's a blessing. To know that day by day and at times moment by moment through the power and the grace of God. And then there's the blessing of adoption. Those who have been called and quickened and justified and sanctified are adopted into the family and household of God. Now, I don't know you, but in my own parish before I retired, I would meet so many who felt that they just didn't belong anymore. They had lost loved ones. They felt that void, that emptiness in life. But the wonderful thing is that in Christ we belong to God. We can call Him our Father, Abba. And we belong to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord. Adopted into the family of God. That's a blessing. And then there's another blessing. It is perseverance, the grace of perseverance. How often we fear that we might stumble and fall and never be able to pick up ourselves again. But dear Christian friend, you will persevere to the end. That's a great doctrine in the teaching of the Scriptures, the perseverance of the saints. And you may feel defeated this morning. You may feel that you're on the very edge of giving up your faith. But by the grace of God, you will persevere to the end. For we are told that nothing, neither in death nor in life, will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I will keep on going to the end with Him. Troubles light compared with these many blessings. And yes, our troubles are light compared to the troubles that our Lord experienced for our salvation. It is a great consolation to the believer to reflect on, to ponder the troubles of Christ in our time of perplexity and extremity. What he went through for us. Now, it may be, perhaps, that the cup that has been placed into your hands from which you are to drink is a bitter cup. And we would not want to underplay that. Some of God's people drink from a very bitter cup. And we would want to assure you of our Christian friendship and our prayers. But whatever cup you drink from this day, however bitter, it does not compare to the bitterness of the cup from which our Lord drank. For he who knew no sin was made sin and bore your sin and mine and the sin of all his beloved. How could one man take in himself the sin of all his beloved? That's what crushed him. On the cross, it wasn't just the physical pain, it was the sin of all the dear ones for whom he was dying. There was an old lady I used to visit in Darnay. She's gone to glory now. And when I would visit her, she would cross country very quickly to the things of the faith, and especially to Calvary. And she would say with tears in her eyes every time, "Oh, how he suffered for me. Should I complain of my suffering for him?" Our troubles light compared to the troubles our Lord endured for us. And our troubles are light too, compared with the sustaining grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many here, I have no doubt, who know by practical experience the power of God's sustaining grace. Is there not one here this morning who reached the end? You really felt you were at the end of the road. You could no longer stand. And when you no longer were able to stand, that's when you knelt. Before the throne of grace. And then there prevailed in your life a peace. We're back to the perseverance of the saints. And here you are today, and you're still going on. You watch an aircraft hurtling down the runway. There is a force exerted upon that aircraft, a downward force, the force of gravity. But as the velocity of the aircraft, its speed increases, another force begins to act upon that aircraft, equal and then greater and increasingly greater, until it lifts off and begins to soar. This is the power of the grace of God. Always greater than the force that acts down upon us in our troubles, trials and tribulations. He enables us to rise again from our knees and to keep on going. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Isn't that your experience? Trouble's light compared to the sustaining power of the grace of God. And one final point. If I told you at the beginning that this sermon had 8 points, you would have despaired. But this is the final point. And I want to say more, God willing, tonight on this point. Our troubles are light in comparison to the glory that will be revealed to us beyond. That's what we look to. Some of us here, who knows, may be very close to the River Jordan, as it were. You're already on the banks of the river, looking across to the promised land. Others here may hope for another 20 or 30 years of useful service. It doesn't really matter where we are on the journey. The miles go by quickly. And as James asks, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And perhaps some say, too quickly, the best is now gone. What is there to look forward to? But as Christian believers, we can say that the best is yet to be. And when we cross over that river into the land of Jordan, oh, what blessings we will know there in glory. As John says in the book of Revelation, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more tear fund there in glory. Every tear. And the sense of the word is not that he will take a handkerchief, as it were, and mop away tears on our cheeks. The sense of the Greek there is that he will take away the capacity for tears. For there will be no need for tears there. As John continues, there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. If we were able to look back here from there, that of course would be impossible, but if we were, then we would see that the troubles that we endured on earth are nothing in comparison to the joys, the unspeakable joys that will be our everlasting portion there. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I hope that you have that perspective regarding your troubles. If you are without the Saviour today, who will help you bear those afflictions and extremities? How hopeless in the end of the day is your case? Turn to him. For it may be in these moments that he is calling to you into the tomb, as it were, calling you forth. So will we come from the darkness into the light, from death to life, and find the one who said, come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we give you thanks that you give us this wonderful perspective, that we can see our troubles in another light, that truly they are light compared with the desire of our hearts to reach the lost for Christ, light compared with our chief end to bring glory to your name, whatever that may involve in life and service and worship. Light compared to what so many others have suffered for the sake of Christ. Light compared to what we deserve on account of our sinful nature. But you have been merciful and gracious. Light compared with the blessings that we now know in Christ. Light compared with the sufferings of Christ for us. Light compared to the sustaining power of your grace and mercy. Light compared with the glories that are to be revealed to us beyond. O Lord, we pray for any who may yet be a stranger to grace here. Speak to them of yourself and draw them now that they may come in repentance and faith, and rejoice in your presence. For Jesus' sake, amen. The